Good evening and welcome to episode 18 of the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. I'm your host, Eric English. Today is Tuesday, and I believe it's August 21st of 2018. So we got some cool and interesting stuff to talk about today in both crypto and cybersecurity. So we'll kind of kick things off here with cryptocurrency related news. Quite a bit of cool stuff happening here. SEC, we've already been talking about this. SEC is still considering the futures ETF with Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. They're supposed to make a decision by this Thursday. Now, whether or not that'll actually happen is still yet to be seen. They postponed their last decision on whether or not they're going to allow it. And, you know, it's interesting because the market seems to take a huge dive right before these announcements. So if you've got any kind of crypto assets anywhere, be very, very cautious, because on Wednesday evening, Thursday morning, you could really see this take a huge dive. At least that's what it did a couple weeks ago when they postponed their previous decision. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that they don't screw up the market again and people don't freak out and don't sell off everything that they have because of regulations that are going to do nothing but help. The more people that can get involved in Bitcoin and crypto, the better. That just means that the value of all these cryptocurrencies is just going to go up. And I think that's where people, I don't know if they just misunderstand it or they just don't realize it. But, you know, yeah, we're talking about regulation and we're talking about creating futures out of Bitcoin. But why is that bad? Why does that make people scared? It shouldn't. That just means that more people will be investing in crypto assets. So to me, it's going to do nothing but good. It's really going to help the markets once all this stuff finally gets passed. Now, in the meantime, depending on the SEC's decision coming up this Thursday, it may kill the markets again, just like it did a couple weeks ago. But we'll see what happens. I'm just hoping that we don't have a repeat. But that's yet to be seen. Today, crypto Bitcoin was trading around 6,300 this morning, got up to about 6,500. So it's kind of floating around that same area all day today. Ethereum was in the 270s, still very low on that. So still really low overall, especially considering where we were last year with all this stuff. But hopefully with some of these regulations, people will have a lot more faith in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency as a whole. You know, right now people have no faith in it because all these fraudulent ICOs, you know, all these hacker groups that use it to get paid when they take over your computer, you know, all these different things that kind of give a black eye to all cryptocurrencies. And, you know, rightfully so, the cautious investor isn't going to invest in something that they're not 100% certain about. And if there's any kind of questioning or something just doesn't seem right, they're not going to invest their money. It's pretty simple. I'm not even sure I would, although I do. But I do think that, you know, the more investors we have, the better. The more regulation on this, it's going to be helpful. The only thing that I think it will be detrimental to is anonymity. That was kind of the main reason crypto was created, why Bitcoin was created, for that anonymity, not being able to trace or track, you know, what money went where. So that may change with some of these regulations. We don't know yet, but as more and more regulation comes down, you know, the more that anonymity could be taking a back seat. Now, I'm sure that there's still going to be cryptos that are, you know, going to be, I don't know, they may opt out of all this regulation. You know, there's really no telling what's going to happen, but it's kind of all yet to be seen. But I think it's going to be good in the long run. So let's just hope that I'm right. We will see. So again, look for that SEC deadline on Thursday. We'll see what the market does too on Wednesday tomorrow. So some other interesting crypto news, speaking of regulation, we are seeing a lot of the larger exchanges like Bittrex and several others are opting in to do their own self-regulation, which I thought was kind of interesting. They're creating their own self-regulatory organization or governing body, whatever you want to call it, to regulate these exchanges. So I think that's, you know, that's a step in the right direction, especially if the SEC starts coming down, and even, you know, China, Korea, all these other countries, if they have their own regulations as well, then, you know, this is definitely a step in the right direction. These exchanges are going to be out in front of the curve. They're going to kind of know what to expect from the regulations if they can get out in front of it. And, you know, hopefully this also helps prevent fraud and, you know, things like that. That's, again, that's really what kills the crypto markets, is all the fraud. People just don't trust it. So if these crypto exchanges can get on board with this and start regulating themselves, I think that's better than nothing, at least for starters. And then, you know, who knows, they may have their own governing body at some point, like from the government, and they may have their own official regulations from the government and security guidelines that they all have to follow, and so on and so forth. I think it's going to be, you know, if I had to look in the magic eight ball or the looking glass and look, you know, 5 years down the road, I can see, you know, as long as crypto stays on the steady incline and the use of crypto continues to rise, I could see where these crypto exchanges are going to have to adhere to a lot of the same regulations as a regular brick and mortar bank would. So it's going to be interesting to see what all the regulations are. Now, I feel bad for bankers, to be honest. They have too much regulation. The stuff that they make them do is outrageous. The regulators that come in and do their audits and whatnot are never consistent, and they all have their own opinion about the vague wording that's in their guidance that they issue, and, you know, bankers just have to try to guess and figure out what the next regulator is going to want when they walk in the door and start doing their audit. So hopefully it's not that bad, but I could see where some of those regulations are just going to fall right over into those crypto exchanges. So the other part to watch out for, though, is, you know, a lot of these exchanges are in different countries. So they're outside of the United States. So the fact that they're going to have their own governing body, regulatory body that they're creating themselves, is good. The issue there is regulations are going to be different from country to country, even from state to state. I mean, you can think about California. They're passing their own Privacy Act, similar to GDPR. And, you know, it could even vary from state to state, depending on where those exchanges are located. So it'll be interesting to see the regulations in 5 years, where it's at. And maybe there's no regulation at all. Maybe it just continues down the path it's on right now, and there just is zero regulation. You just never know. But with all the fraud that happens, and, you know, the SEC's fining people and throwing people in jail over this kind of stuff, so, you know, they are enforcing some of the laws, which is good, but there's really no official regulation on cryptocurrencies. So we're getting there, though, so get ready. Buckle your seatbelts. But those exchanges are doing some self-policing, so that's kind of cool stuff. I'll post the article on the show notes if you want to check that out too. Give it a read. Also posted the information about the SEC decision coming down on Thursday and their ETF and futures and whatnot that they're going to decide on. So check those articles out when you get a chance. So moving over to cybersecurity. In the news today, we had some interesting stuff. There was a new form of banking malware that was discovered in Mexico, of all places, and apparently it had been dormant for, well, not really dormant, but undetectable for the last, what they said, at least 5 years. So it's been running in these banks for at least 5 years. And it's been getting credentials and doing keylogging and all kinds of different things. They're keylogging for specific credentials that they want, like Office 365, Rackspace, Amazon, big infrastructure, you know, like AWS, the big infrastructure items is what they were trying to get their hands on. What they're going to do with that is still yet to be seen, and maybe they've already been doing whatever it is, but this stealthy malware has been sitting there spying on these people for the last 5 years. It's still kind of in the early stages. I think Kaspersky is the group that found this one, so it's still very much in the early stages, but still pretty wild to think about the dwell time there. Dwell time is the amount of time that a hacker is in your environment that you don't know about. The average dwell time is, you know, 60 to 90 days in most cases, but 5 years, wow, that's pretty tricky. Their malware would do some pretty rudimentary evasive techniques, at least according to the Hacker News. So the fact that it was able to evade antivirus and anti-malware for that long is pretty impressive. But Kaspersky did find this here recently. So they haven't announced what's going to happen or who was infected or anything else. But if you have any bank accounts in Mexico, now might be the time to get your money out. You don't know what's going to happen with these folks. But Mexico has their own regulations, just like the United States does. So they have their own banking regulations that they have to follow outside of what the U.S. does. So, you know, they could have completely different regulations than we do. So we'll see what happens to those banks. They may be perfectly fine, or they may get completely shut down. It just depends on that country's regulations. So, they didn't say how many customers were affected or if any customers were affected either. So it's still kind of fresh off the press. But I'll post that article out there for you guys to read. The Russians are meddling in the elections again. Of course, Microsoft found this round of phishing sites that were up and fake news websites that were up that were created by the Russians. And they even had some phishing sites up that mimicked Office 365 login pages. So Microsoft was able to take down the websites and file some paperwork in court to be able to take those sites down. And they did it, and they seized the domains and all that good stuff. And the Russians were creating these domains that made it look like they were coming from the Senate, which was interesting. They had, you know, U.S. government logos and all kinds of stuff on these fake news sites. And I'm sure that they were spreading this fake news through Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else that they've compromised an account. And they just continue to spread that fake news and try to influence our elections. It's interesting that Russians really care so much about our elections, but that tells me that it's not just Russians, it's the Russian government. It's not really the Russian people that care if, you know, Donald Trump's our president. They could probably care less. But the Russian government, on the other hand, does care, and they're probably the ones pulling the strings, and they're probably the ones that have hired these hackers to create all these fake sites and fish people and all kinds of other stuff. So they've been caught doing some spear phishing and trying to get credentials from anybody and everybody related to politics that they possibly can. So pretty interesting stuff there. Also pretty scary when you think about it. I mean, if these elections really could be influenced that much, that's the scary part here. So hopefully we don't have, you know, some other celebrity that's going to run for president. I don't think that we do. Not to say that Donald Trump is much of a celebrity per se, but hopefully it's not another celebrity trying to run for president here. But continuing on here, there was some news that broke last week. I didn't really make much of it just because I figured that they were doing it anyway and I didn't really care, but all the privacy freaks were flipping out about Google and how they were still tracking your location even if you turned location sharing off. That's kind of a global setting, so you can turn off that location sharing. However, certain applications like Facebook, for example, that you've given access to your location can still log your location. So there's actually a lawsuit that's been filed now against Google. And, you know, apparently Google is also, so like when you, for example, if you do a Google search or you open up your Google Maps application on your phone, you want to know, you know, you want the app to know your location so you can get GPS to work. I mean, come on. But it's also for things when you do like a Google search and you're in a specific area and you search for, you know, car dealerships near me or whatever, it can get your location, know where you are, and be able to provide you those search results that you're looking for. So that's the kind of location data that it was still storing. But if you opt in to location sharing, it shows your tracks every day, where you went all day, every day, back and forth to work, to the store, wherever you went, it will track you all day long if you're opted into this. And, you know, people that freak out about privacy stuff were all up in arms, and there's a lawsuit now against Google, and we'll see how this lawsuit does. There's apparently a bunch of other ways to go turn off these location sharing settings. Some of them are kind of buried in the Android settings. They're not just with that global switch of location sharing. So I'll post the article there if you want to turn all that stuff off. Be my guest. I have nothing to hide, so I could really care less. They're gonna find another way to do it. You know, Facebook's doing it. You know, all these companies are doing it. It's not just Google. So, I mean, and if they're doing it to provide me relevant search results on their search engine, you know, for me, I'm perfectly fine with that. But, you know, somebody has a lawsuit out there, I'm sure they want to get a few million bucks out of the deal. But we'll see how that goes in court. It hasn't actually, I don't think it's been in front of a jury or anything yet, but the lawsuit has at least been filed. So that's, it's getting started there. Last on my list of cybersecurity news, there was a there's a company called Rapid7. If you're not familiar with Rapid7, they make tools like Metasploit and Nexpose, which is a vulnerability scanning tool. Metasploit is probably the most popular exploit tool to exploit vulnerabilities, and Rapid7 owns both of those products and a few others, of course. But they released their quarterly report, and in that report it talked about all of the new crypto jacking campaigns that have been going on, and how much higher the crypto jacking results are this year, how much more prevalent it is versus other types of malware and viruses and ransomware and things like that. The crypto mining malware is really, really, really taken off. And I said it a couple of podcasts ago, it's exponentially larger and more prevalent than the ransomware is, at least nowadays. But somebody actually did a full, you know, write-up on it and a full report on it, and they've got all the numbers, and you know, these are obviously numbers that they've collected through, you know, various methods. I'm sure that you have to opt in when you use their software, and you know, other things like that. But they also talked about Drupal, the various vulnerabilities on Drupal, which is a website hosting software. It's similar to like a WordPress. It just makes it easy for non-web developers to create a website. But there was tons of vulnerabilities in Drupal, and they kind of talked about that. They also talked about the MikroTik routers that were infected with crypto mining malware. We talked about that several weeks ago as well. They also showed some stats on a guy that's apparently doing creating crypto mining malware for Android and using the what's called ADB shell. ADB is the Android Debug Bridge, and on all Android phones and tablets, there's a service on those devices called Android Debug Bridge, and that's typically used by developers to, you know, debug their software and debug their operating system, whatever it is. And it runs on port 5555, and these researchers found that you can exploit that and run some crypto mining malware on that particular service, which would mean it's mining on your Android. So Google has banned all of the crypto mining applications from their app store, or the Play Store, I should say. So these would be, you know, apps that you've sideloaded outside of the Play Store. So kind of interesting stuff there, that, you know, just yet another vulnerability in Android that's leaving a lot of people exposed. But they talk pretty heavily about all of the, you know, crypto mining malware that's taken place. And for everybody that wonders why I do a podcast on cybersecurity and cryptocurrency, well, here's your answer right here. It's in these statistics. It is so much more prevalent than you think. It happens all the time, and you may not even know that it's happening to you. So anyway, that's why I created this podcast, to talk about those kinds of things. And I'm also passionate about all that stuff as well. So all that said, that's all I had for newsworthy stuff today. I do want to give an update on our Office 365 saga tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. I do want to thank our sponsor. I didn't talk about them when we kicked off the show today, but it's Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. They do any kind of t-shirt that you want. If you want a custom designed shirt, they can do that. They've already got some pre-made shirts that are really, really funny. They got some funny sayings on them and stuff. If you need polo shirts for your business, if you need jerseys made with logos, whatever it is, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company can do all that stuff for you. Their website is southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Again, southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. So go check them out for all your T-shirt needs. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at eenglish34 on Twitter. It's at eenglish34 if you want to follow me on Twitter. All right, folks, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.